Last couple of weeks, we've been looking at Isaiah 9:6, and so we'll be continuing that study of that verse this morning. And so I'm going to go ahead and read this verse that was given by God to the prophet Isaiah 700 years before it ever happened, and it says this: "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." Last Sunday morning, we looked at the first two, Wonderful Counselor. And today, we're going to look at the next three names that we find in this particular verse, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. In Bible days, names were much more important than they are today. Names had meaning in that day, in that society. Often they were given to reflect some characteristic of the person, or maybe something that was going on at the time reflected in the name. Adam's name simply meant earth, because he was taken from the earth. Remember the twin brothers, Esau and Jacob. Esau's name meant hairy, because when he was born, he was a hairy dude. And that doesn't necessarily mean if your name is hairy that you're a hairy dude, but but Esau was. And then his brother Jacob. Jacob meant heel catcher. And remember when they were born and Jacob followed Esau out and he grabbed a hold of his heel. And the parents saw that and they named him the heel catcher. See, in that day, names were significant. Names pointed often to something or some characteristic of the person or event. And so the same thing is true when it comes to the names of the Lord Jesus Christ. I read somewhere that somebody counted all the names, and there was way over 200 names referring to Jesus Christ. And we're only considering four of them. And then there's Emmanuel, and then there's Jesus, and on it goes. Christ. Name number three for this morning is Mighty God, El Gabor. "For unto us a child was born, and his name will be called El Gabor," or the Mighty One. El Gabor is a Hebrew word that means the all-powerful, omnipotent one. The one who is full of omnipotence, full of all power, is that child that we worship and we think about at Christmas time. Born in a manger in Bethlehem is El Gabor. There are people today who will try and tell you that there is no place in the Bible where it directly says that Jesus is God. And that's not true, because we're looking at one of those verses right here. That this baby that was born, this son that was given, whose name is El Gabor, the Mighty One. There are other places in Scripture where it clearly tells us who Jesus Christ is. And if those that run around and try to espouse that Jesus Christ is not God, that He's not equal with the Father, if they would just be true to the text, and if they would just read what it says and believe what it says, they would believe that that is true. I just want to show you a few more passage of Scripture. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 8. Here God is speaking to the Son when He says this: "But to the Son He says," who is the He? Well, you go back in the text in verse 1 and it's God. God is saying this. He says, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever." God the Father is talking about His own Son, and God the Father is calling Him God. the Father testifies to the deity of Jesus Christ. Titus 2:13 says this, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior. Who's the great God and Savior? Well, it's Jesus Christ. He's the great God and Savior. 1 John 5:20, here's another passage, 1 John 5:20. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know Him who is true, and we are in Him who is true, in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Jesus Christ is the true God. Not only that, Jesus Christ is eternal life. And having eternal life is having Him. Having Him is eternal life. I want to add one more. I don't have it on the screen there for you. I thought of it yesterday. It's 1 Timothy 3:16, and it says this. 1 Timothy 3:16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Then it lists six things about this mystery. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up to glory. Who is he talking about? Those six things are who? Describing who? Jesus Christ, who was God manifested in the flesh. Jesus is God. That little baby born in a manger over 2,000 years ago was El Gibor, the Mighty One. Zephaniah 3:17 says this, The Lord your God is in your midst. He is mighty to save. That word mighty is Gibor. The Lord your God is in your midst. And He is Gabor, mighty to save. Let me ask you this question. Are you weary and losing heart because of some giant mountain-sized problem that it seems like you can't get over and can't find your way through, and there just doesn't seem to be any answer? It's some very impossible situation. It might be in a relationship in your home or in your work or at school. Remember, the child born in Bethlehem is El Gabor. And it says, El Gabor is in your midst. He's with you. All you have to do is turn to Him by faith. All you have to do is trust Him with whatever your problem is. And He will see to it. He will take care of it. He will give you the strength you need to walk through it. Or He may even, by a miracle, deliver you from it. Let me ask you this morning, do you know Him as your El Gabor this day? Do you see Him that way when you think of the babe in a manger? And we sing those songs? Or is He just this little baby in a manger like all other babies? Well, 700 years before Jesus Christ was born, Isaiah said, the child that's going to be born is El Gabor. That child of Bethlehem is in the midst of our lives, in the midst of our circumstances. Do you think He has a problem carrying any of your burdens this morning? There's a little phrase in our text that said that the government will be on His shoulders. All the governments of the world are going to be on His shoulders. He's going to carry the governments of the world. He's going to rule and reign over all the governments of the world. So, do you think when you come to Him, He will have a problem with your little burden when He's able to carry the government, all the governments of this world one day on His shoulder? I don't think there will be a problem. It'd be kind of like going across the bridge down here over the Columbia River. Do you really think after semis go across that bridge that you have to be afraid of carrying your little burden across the bridge. Your little pack. You think it's going to be a problem with the bridge. None whatsoever. The bridge basically won't even know you're there because the bridge is so strong. Jesus Christ is like that bridge. If he can carry the governments of the world on his shoulder, and he will one day when he comes back, our simple problems, life problems, compared to him are really not much at all, are they? We have little problems and big problems, don't we? God, just all problems are little to him. Pretty insignificant to him compared to who he is, because he is the mighty one, El Gabor. Scripture says, I can do all things, not some things, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We don't do it in our own strength. We don't carry the pack in our own strength. We don't resist the temptations of life in our own strength, but we do it in his strength, and he has all strength. So the child of Bethlehem, his name is El Gabor, the mighty God. We come to a fourth name. The fourth name is the Everlasting Father. The Everlasting Father. The Hebrew phrase literally says the Father of Eternity. The child of Bethlehem is not only Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, but he's also Father of Eternity. That says at least this. Not only is he eternal, but he holds eternity in his hands. Because he has eternity in his hands, he can then give you and me eternal life. How could he ever give us something he doesn't have? And so he is the Father of Eternity. He's the source of eternity, of all eternal things. The Bible says this, that you and I are dead in our trespasses and sins, and what we need is life. We don't need religion. We don't need church, but we need life. And because the child of Bethlehem is the Father of Eternity, he can give it to anyone who would come to him and receive life. But before he can give us life, he's got to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us. And then he gives us this special gift, this gift of eternal life. And he'll give it to anyone who will come, no matter who they are. And it doesn't matter what they've done or what kind of life they've lived. He says, you come to me. I'll forgive you and cleanse you of all your sin. I will give you the gift of eternal life. Why? Because I am the Father of Eternity. I had a father. But he wasn't a father forever because my dad is gone. All human fathers will one day leave us. And I can no longer go to my dad for advice. I can no longer go to him for help. I can't do that. There's been times where I wish I could have went to him and asked him what he thought or asked him for help to get through a situation. But he's gone. He's not with me. The reason is because he's not this father. This father is the only father of eternity. But my Father in heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ, is eternal. El Gabor is the Everlasting Father, the Father of Eternity. And he's mine. Jesus is a Father forever. And I can go to him anytime I need to. Now or throughout eternity. Because he is eternal. And he's the Father of it. He's the source of it. And he wants to give it to you and me eternal life as a gift. So the wonderful Counselor is El Gibor, the Almighty One. And not only that, He is the Father of eternity. Eternity is in His hands. It's His. And He wants to share it with you and me. But we have another name here. He's referred to as the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace did come. Even the angels of heaven announced His coming when they said in Luke 2:14, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." But all we have to do is look around in the world, don't we? We see no peace. The Prince of Peace came. The angels announced that there would be peace on earth, but it's been 2,000 years and there's no goodwill towards men. There's no peace on earth. There's nothing but wars and violence. And I think as time goes on, it's just going to get worse and worse. Why is that? The Prince of Peace came. That one laying in the manger, that little baby, came, lived on this earth and died. But there's still no peace. Why is that? The reason why we don't have any peace on earth that He came to give and one day will bring peace on earth when He comes back the second time. He will do it. He will rule this world and there will be peace. But the reason why there's no peace on earth today is because both man and nations have forgotten God and have rejected His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. They've rejected the source of peace, the only one who can bring peace. And it's not nations, and it's not presidents and kings, but it's Jesus Christ. And man has rejected Him. And the only thing left is turmoil and violence. And it's man's fault, not God's. Just this last week, another shooting at an elementary school. Did you hear that on the same day of the anniversary of the one that happened a year ago where over 20 people were killed and most of them were little children? Jesus Christ came to bring peace. But because our world rejects Him, the Prince of Peace, the one that was to come and bring peace on earth, knows no peace and will never know any peace and will only get worse as far as war and violence goes. Is it no wonder that we're seeing violence escalate in our world and even in our own country as we as a country turn away from the Prince of Peace? As the culture we live in continue to come against us as a church and try to throw out Christ in Christmas in the public square and then wonder why we have shootings in schools, because the Prince of Peace is not our president. It's not who is in the White House. The Prince of Peace is this baby born in a manger whose name is Jesus Christ, who's El Gibor, the wonderful Counselor, the mighty God. He is the Prince of Peace. There will come a time when He will bring peace to earth. No more wars. No more PTSD problems that some of our soldiers deal with. No more. It'll be a time where the lion lays down with the lamb but not today. Not yet. One day, yes, but not now. Well, what does the Prince of Peace bring today? He brings peace of heart. He can provide you with peace with God that will produce peace of heart no matter what's going on in our life out here. The peace of heart that the Prince of Peace can give us cannot be touched by the circumstances of life. That is the one thing that the world seeks but will never find, because they've rejected the Prince of Peace that wants to come into their heart. Because Jesus one day said this, He said this, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you." And see, it's not even our peace, it's His peace shared with us. Peace of heart, that inner peace that cannot be touched by the circumstances of life. Let me ask you this morning, not only is the babe in the manger your El Gabor, are you living your life trusting in the all-powerful One in the circumstances and the problems and the stresses and pressures of life, because they will come and you may be in that right now. He wants to be your El Gabor. Not only that, as your El Gabor, He wants to give you peace of heart and peace of mind. Because often He doesn't deliver us out of the problems. He takes us through the problems of life and gives us the peace that we need. Maybe you're here and you're struggling. Maybe your life has no peace right now. Maybe it's due to family conflict. Or maybe it's due to disappointment. Maybe you got bad news from the doctor recently and it's taken away your peace. Maybe you lost your job. Whatever it might be, all those things want to rob us of peace. But Jesus Christ came to give us His peace as we learn to trust Him, lean upon Him, and depend upon Him through the storms of life. Jesus, the Prince of Peace, says this to you and me this morning, "My peace I give you." That inner peace. So what's in a name? What's in His name? It was the year 1809. A traveler was passing through Kentucky. He stopped at the store and asked, "Anything happening here lately around this place?" The storekeeper said, "Nothing ever happens around here. But there was a baby born out at the Lincoln cabin just last night, that's all. No big deal." Baby born in the Lincoln cabin, no big deal. And that same attitude is what people have at Christmas time. They see all around them manger scenes and hear about the babe in the manger on the radio and in music and on Christmas cards. And their attitude is, a baby is born in a barn in Bethlehem, that's all, no big deal. "What child is this that was born?" says the song, asks the song. "His name is Wonderful Counselor. He's the mighty God El Gibor, the Father of Eternity and the Prince of Peace, that's all. He is Emmanuel, which is God with us." For all those that know Jesus Christ as personal Savior, the Bible says, God is with you. And He's with me. He's in the midst of whatever is going on in our lives. He's with you at school and at work and at home and at church and out in the community as you're purchasing presents. He's with you. Never forget that. Especially when you're, and He gives peace. Especially when you're in that line that's not moving and you're tempted to go to the other line. Do you think maybe it's going to go faster? And the problem in person in front of you has all of these issues. And you're in a hurry. Christmas is coming. And He says, I can even give you peace in a circumstance like that. How many times have we gotten upset and stressed because of we were there, we were driving around the mall looking for a place to park. No place could be found. Did I have peace of heart this Christmas season? Or was I tempted to get excited and rattled? He came to give us peace, even in times like that. Even when there's turmoil in our homes. Even when there's turmoil out at the store. Even when people take advantage of us or use us or hurt us or say all manner of evil against us, we can have peace. What a promise. The mighty God, El Gibor, who can take care of any problem we could ever have. The one thing I crave and want more than all the rest is not His mighty power to deliver me from a situation, but to experience the peace of God while I'm going through it. And that's what He came to give. That's that baby in a manger. And you know the most important three words in this verse, in this text, that has to do with you and me is the very first three where it says, for unto us, for unto me, for unto you, a son is given. That's why He came. He came for you. And He came for me. And He did all of this because He loves us. The gift of Christ is a personal gift from God to you. And like all gifts that are given, they must be received, right? They have to be received. You may acknowledge the gift, and you may spend time admiring the gift, and you're standing at a manger scene and admiring the babe and the manger and all the stuff that represents. And you could take time to study all about the gift. And you can know all there is to know about the Christmas story in all of its minute detail, more than anybody else that you know. And you know, you could even thank God for the gift. Thank you, God, for the gift of your Son. But none of it matters until you have first received the gift. It's not yours. Just because you've been involved in all of that that happens every Christmas in so many families and so many lives, admiring it and thanking Him for it and studying about it and acknowledging it as true. There are many that are involved in other religions and other churches that don't deny the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. They celebrate the virgin birth. They acknowledge the virgin birth. They even admire it and might even study some about it. And then they might even have thanked God for it. But until you take it, it's not yours. Scripture says, but as many as received Him, to them He gave power, authority, to become children of God. It's Christmas 2013. Can you believe it? Have you received God's gift that was given for you? Have you confessed your sin, acknowledged that you need the gift, that you need forgiveness, and received it all? And received that gift of eternal life? Have you done that? That's the question that we need to ask ourselves. And that's the question that we must ask on behalf of others. Have they received the gift? Yes, it's great that they're going to go to church next week. But have they received the gift? It's great that they're going to sing about Him and study about Him and thank God for Him. But have they received the gift of forgiveness and eternal life? Because it's not yours until you take it. Salvation involves two things: believing what is said is true about Him, that it's all true, that you believe it. And then you act upon that truth by faith. You receive that gift as your very own. There's a little well-known carol that we sing every Christmas, and it's called, O Little Town of Bethlehem. And it was written by Phillips Brooks, and it has this stanza in that song. It says this: how silently, the wondrous gift was given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of His heaven. No ear may hear His coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive Him, still the dear Christ enters in. We must receive by faith that gift of eternal life. And as we saw in one of the verses we read, that Jesus Christ is not only God, but He is eternal life. Eternal life, having eternal life is having Jesus Christ, who is God, who is the Father of eternity. And that's what He came to give us. What's in a name? Oh, there's so much in that name. My name, not so much. Maybe, you know, failure, you know. Often that's what's in our names. Disappointment. Struggler. We're looking at that on Sunday nights, where Paul talked about his struggle as a Christian and then shares how we have victory over the struggle. See, Jesus Christ came to give us peace as Almighty God. Wonderful Counselor that we can go to, who not only knows what to say, how to advise us, but also He can do something about the problem. He can either deliver us from the problem, or He can give us strength to go through the problem, because He's Almighty God. Father, may You be all of these things to us. Father, I pray if there's just one person here that's studied about it and wondered about it and worshiped You and doesn't deny any of the truth of the Christmas message, but never actually literally received Christ as their very own. I pray, Father, they might do that this morning. They might receive the gift that You came to give, which is Your Son. I pray, Father, that You might help us to right this moment be confirmed in our heart that we have received the gift. Father, in this busyness of the season, the hecticness of the day, we pray, Father, that we would have Your peace that passes all understanding. A peace that cannot be touched by the circumstances of life. Father, that we may walk in that peace through this next week and a half, revealing indicating that we belong to You and that we're totally committed and surrendered to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we pray these things in Your Son's name. Amen.